The next one of the attributes is known as Yishuv. Actually, many of the Mefarshim quote an alternate girsa of Yeshiva. And I think that in the various Mefarshim, many of them actually suggest either multiple interpretations of Yishuv, multiple interpretations of Yeshiva, or in some cases, Mefarshim discuss both possible girsaos. And I think combined, there are five different interpretations that we can learn from that perhaps are this next one of the Kinyanei Torah. So let's start with the Nusach, the Girsa of Yishuv. So Rashi here in Pirkei Avos says that means the Yishuv Hadas. For learning, it's important to be able to have focus and concentration. Tiferes Yisrael says, Yam Yishuv Vedato Vlo Muvhal B'dvarav. Don't be distracted by other things. And as the Maharal says, echoing this point, Shim Ein Dato Miyushevus Alav Ein Yochol Elmod. When a person is distracted, when you have other things on your mind, you can't focus, and then you cannot learn as well. There are many different causes that can lead to distraction. In fact, the Tiferes Yisrael, not in our parak, but earlier in Pirkei Avos, in Parak Aleph, in Mishnah Tezvav, Boaz Os Aleph, suggests a number of different interpretations to the word keva, when the Mishnah tells us, Asei Taraska keva. And his second interpretation is that it comes from the word menucha, inyan menucha, Ratzalomar menucha sanefesh, which is very similar to what the Mefarshim are saying here in the sixth parak, in Parakinyan Torah, of Yishuv Hadas, or menucha sanefesh. And he explains that it's important that all of the surroundings when a person is learning should be ones that don't lead him away or distract him. There shouldn't be loud noises, and there should be a proper light and air in the room, and persons should learn from a sefer that is nice, with nice printing. All these things, he says, yitnu menucha v'simcha l'hanefesh u'marchiv en da'as ha'adam, and all of these things help a person concentrate. So the ability to concentrate, focus, and learn in a way that he can really apply himself is this first interpretation. And really, we can accomplish amazing things if we do that. In the Telzer Rosh Yeshiva's Shiurei Das, in Chelek Gimel, he notes just how extraordinary this is. And he makes a fascinating ha'ara on the famous Gemara in Brachos that speaks about the story with Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Gamliel, where yet again Rabbi Gamliel criticizes and punishes Rabbi Yoshua for what he perceived to be disrespect, and eventually the rest of the Talmidim respond and they end up deposing Rabbi Gamliel as Nasi. Famous story. Eventually they reinstate Rabbi Gamliel, but the Gemara tells us that on this day when they then not only deposed Rabbi Gamliel, but instituted a new Nasi, who also changed the policies of the yeshiva and allowed a more open door policy, a more lax admissions policy. So the Gemara tells us that there were amazing, amazing things accomplished in learning. Many, many halachos that were paskin that day, many sfeikos that were resolved, and it's really extraordinary. And Rav Bloch here in the Shiurei Das points out that it's actually astounding if you think about it. Ma nifla beis medrash kazeh. What an astounding thing. Boba yom shehoridu as rabban bikiso umanu acher tachta. The same day, there was such a tumult where they deposed their Rebbe and appointed somebody else. Ba'oso yom asku kol yom b'torah b'chol kochom v'hamapecha v'hizchadshus shen ha'isa sham lo hifriya menuchas nafsham v'lo dibru odo zem umo. How could it be that with such tumult, as we might say such hak, such going on, so many distractions, and yet they were able to accomplish so much in that same day? I mean, it's just unbelievable. Yet they nevertheless were learning and had all these new psakim b'shalvas ruach gemura, with tremendous equanimity and calm and focus. What do we see from this? Zemara lanu shemash asu hayurak b'cheshbon v'da'as. The fact is, despite the extraordinary events, we see that they had done everything calmly and deliberately. And when you do everything calm and deliberate, then, as he puts it, Nasa b'seichel u'b'yishuv hadas, then you can, in fact, concentrate, do things methodically, make your decisions, and then move on. He points out, unfortunately, how much of this seems to be lacking already in his day, and I think in our day, all the more so. Halo kol davar katan hamisorer etel harabim, any little thing that comes up, it distracts us, ezit haromes, any problems, any machlokes, ezit chiddush kal, anything new, kvar yifriyem v'yavat leim limudam. Often we get distracted. So if we have the ability to be concentrated and focused, then we can really, truly accomplish great, great things. That is number one. A second interpretation is suggested by a number of the Mefarshim. For example, the Medrash Shmuel, in his first pshat, says it means to be deliberate. Shim shalu mimenu shum sheila lo yashiv b'mehera ad shis yashiv b'davar b'mitun. Person shouldn't rush to answer questions, but should consider the possibilities, as it, you know, alluding to, I think, what it says already in the beginning of Perkei Avos, have a mitunim bedin. A person should be deliberate, calm, not running to do things before they are ready. The Lechem Shemayim of Yaakov Emden has this interpretation. He also adds, fascinatingly, that even if one takes the other girsa that I mentioned, the yeshiva, in his opinion, that means literally sitting. But, as he says, Hainu hach, Ritzoni lomar lilmod miyushav l'fishav yeshiva misyashev hadas. The idea of being deliberate and calm when one is learning is, in fact, directly connected to the physical posture, he says. That if you're if you are standing, or he says, even if standing you can concentrate, but if you are moving, you are a holech, so then a person can't really focus and they won't be able to be deliberate and give the proper answers. But if one is sitting, and he, you know, the physical posture he thinks is the second nusach, second girsa, but certainly the initial one of being deliberate, so that, he says, allows a person to be more deliberate, clear in thought, and then will be more organized and be able to give proper answers and instruction. As he puts it, ki hasidur hu nishmas ha'inyonim v'chiyusam. Very beautiful formulation. That organization, which is the result of being able to be deliberate and methodical, that is the soul and the lifeblood, in the essence, of ideas of Torah. I think it's perhaps poetic that we can also quote in the immediate aftermath of citing that insight of Rav Yaakov Emden, that Rav Yonatan Eibeshitz, in his commentary to the Shulchan Aruch, in the Tumim, in Choshen Mishpat Siman Yud, describes autobiographically that unless the question is completely obvious, he says, I always look in Svarim, and I never rush to answer questions, because nowadays we don't have the memory that they might have had in the time of Chazal, and therefore it's very important to look at questions. And many other posts can point this as well, look in sources, look in Svarim, I mean, that it's very important to look inside Svarim before answering questions. The Baruch She'amar, Baruch Levi Epstein, also giving this interpretation that we shouldn't be bahul lahashiv, we shouldn't rush to be too quick to answer, but we should answer methodically in an organized manner. And he also adds that we have to look in the Svarim before we give our answers. Where Dr. Abraham Tversky, in his commentary to Perkei Avos, actually tells an astounding personal story, a story that happened with him and to him, about this idea. And he points out that if we answer too quickly, we could be jumping to conclusions, and we could make a mistake. First impressions, the first thing we think of when we hear a question might be misleading, but rather we should be calm and unhurried. So he tells the amazing story with himself, where he had a question on a certain Gemara, and he sent that question, he wrote a letter to the Stipler Gaon. He said sometime later he received a reply from the Stipler, in which he suggested, the Stipler did, an answer to his question. And Rabbi Tversky says that this was a brilliant reply. And the Stipler at the time was so happy with it, he then actually followed up and asked Rabbi Tversky to make a copy and send it back to him, because that was the only version of this answer, this insight, this chiddush that he had come up with. Rabbi Dr. Tversky was very excited, of course, for his small role in this, and the fact that he had received such a brilliant answer. And therefore he was astounded and shocked when 2 years later, a volume of the Kilas Yaakov that came out, the Stipler Svarim on Shas. And in fact, in this new volume, the question, that sugya that he asked, the question is in there. And yet, the answer is very, very different than the one that he received in the letter, that the Stipler himself was so happy with. Only very faint, small reference to the original answer that Dr. Tursky had received. And the lesson that Dr. Tursky took from this, that he gleaned from this, was that clearly in the intervening 2 years, the Stipler had thought it over more and more, and the initial insight, which was brilliant and exciting, he apparently did not feel was totally correct and true. And therefore, eventually, when it came time to giving his quote-unquote permanent answer, that when he published it, he in fact had changed his mind. So this is a tremendously powerful story, says Dr. Tursky, which highlights, even for someone as brilliant as the Stipler, how often our first impression may be misleading, and therefore we should be metunim b'din, deliberate, and not rush to answer questions. So that is the second explanation, specifically that we should be deliberate, cautious, methodical, especially when it comes to answering questions. A third idea takes our attention now to the alternate girsa, that of yeshiva. Not yeshuv, but yeshiva. Rashi, not exactly on the words yeshuv or yeshiva, but at the end of the list here in Parag Vav, at the end of the list of the 48 Kinyani Torah, Rashi then adds a nusach acher. There are some textual variations, and one of them there, Rashi adds, is that instead of b'yishuv, it's b'yeshiva. And what does that mean, says Rashi? Mar b'yeshiva, mar b'chachma. An allusion to the statement in Chazal, in Gemara, in Nida, which it seems that Rashi understood refers specifically to an actual yeshiva. This is certainly somewhat vague in Rashi, but it is clearly the pshat in the Medrash Shmuel. His first pshat we already saw with the girsa of yeshiva, but in a second explanation, the Medrash Shmuel working off of this girsa of yeshiva, he says, "Ki mi she'eino lomei b'yeshiva lo yore l'om kasha halacha." If a person doesn't learn in a yeshiva, they won't be able to get to the true essence, the depth of the halacha. Ki ha'halacha lo tisbarer, v'lo tislabein, ki im b'limudo b'yeshiva. You need the intellectual stimulation of a yeshiva to clarify and to work out the truth and ultimately get to the essence of the din. This is similar to the idea we saw in the previous year, perhaps of the pilpul chaverim, that the give and take, the intellectual stimulation, the koach haTorah, the kol Torah that appears in a yeshiva, that can change and elevate a person's learning. An alternate way of understanding the importance of yeshiva, the actual physical yeshiva, as we use the term now colloquially, to learn in yeshiva, not just the intellectual stimulation and the ability to refine one's thinking in the dynamic environment of a Beis Medrash, but another possible understanding may be gleaned from the Pachad Yitzchak. In one of the letters of Rav Huttner, in his volume of letters, Igrus Uksavim, Simon Ayin Dalid, based on a speech, actually, that he gave in yeshiva in Brooklyn, not his own yeshiva, but another yeshiva, he quoted that Reb Chaim Volozhiner, when he instituted and created the Volozhiner yeshiva, made a change. And at some point, he banished the term Talmidei yeshiva, and instead of saying that, he used the term Bnei yeshiva, not the students, but the sons of, or the children of the yeshiva. How so? So, telling the story where he heard this idea from, but bottom line, says Rav Huttner, the interpretation was as follows. There's a difference between hearing lectures, as important as they may be, in secular studies from a professor or a teacher, and hearing shirim in Torah and learning from a Rebbe or a Rosh Hashiva. In what way is it different? So the mashal that he gives is the difference between a baby nursing from his mother or a person, a child, eating a meal prepared by a cook. The cook, the person preparing the food, could do an excellent job, could take pride in their work, but nevertheless, there is still a difference. Hayachas to a mora, he says Rav Huttner, who doma lemisha makabel mazon miyado shel mevashel hamazon. You get your food from whoever cooked or prepared the food, as opposed to the person who's getting his Torah from his Rebbe. That's doma lemisha makabel mazon mimei nekes shelo, who you're nursing from. In what way is that different? Hamei nekes mazina es hayonek betamsis chayel. She's giving of her essence to the child. Ilu hamavashel nosein dover haba legamre min hachutz. Ein kan ella min Ezra mekenit lahachshir es hamazon. Again, I don't think this is a criticism per se, but someone who's preparing the food, you go to a good restaurant or something, or, you know, someone prepares a meal, everything about it, the ingredients, etc., literally and figuratively, are external to the person. They are a mechanism, a way, a means to an end of getting the food to you. However, a nursing mother, a woman who's nursing, she's not just, she's something doing something much more essential than that. And she's giving really of herself over to the child. And this, Rav Huttner suggests, this difference is the difference between Talmidei Yeshiva and Bnei Yeshiva. Kolomar, he writes, Ein ha-yeshiva makom hachanas mezonos. Yeshiva is not where you just get a prepared spiritual sustenance. Ela makom yenikas mezonos. This is where you draw your essential sustenance. There's a difference between just having food prepared for you and to be yonik, to draw sustenance is something much more fundamental, something much more intimate and essential. And apparently, Rav Chaim Volozhiner at some point felt that he needed to emphasize this. And perhaps this is a similar idea here in the idea of yeshiva. And that is that part of a person's development is they need to be in a place in which they are a ben, not just learning, whether it's on their own or even coming in out of a place for shiurim, but to be a ben yeshiva, to be in a yeshiva, to be in a place where you have rebbeim who are giving of themselves, being yonik mezonos to you. That experience is transformative and certainly could be essential to the kinyanei Torah in a way that just if you are having a hachanas mezonos, getting the Torah, but without that yonika, you would seriously be lacking. A fourth idea, using the girsa of yeshiva, is suggested by the Machzor Vitri. And that is that yeshiva here means to sit in the figurative sense, to be a masmid. To sit and to sit and to sit and to learn. Yagati yomatzati, the only way to get to find the Torah is of course to put in the efforts. Shemitoch shemarba yubi yeshiva mischakeim. The way a person can eventually learn and become a Talmid Chacham is he has to really put in the effort. Rav Osher Weiss is quoted by his Talmud, Rav Yosef Toledano, as Rav Osher Weiss is quoted as quoting from his Rebbe, the Kloisenberger, who was pointing out just how important Hasmada is. It really makes an astounding insight or observation. He notes, that sometimes in our davening we say Yehi Ratzon, we ask Sheyabana Beis Hamikdash Meherav Yameinu, we want that the Beis Hamikdash should be rebuilt in our days, and then right away we say V'sein Chalkeinu B'sarasecha, give us our portion in your Torah. What's the connection between these two things? Why does one follow from the other? So apparently the Kloisenberger Rebbe said, because when the Beis Hamikdash is built, there'll be so much excitement and there'll be so many people who are going to run to see the Kohanim and to see the Avoda and to see what's going on in the Beis Hamikdash. It's all going to be coming from a very good place. And even then, said the Kloisenberger, we're davening the Sein Chalkeinu B'sar Secha. Even then, we don't want to close the Gemara. Even then, we're davening that we understand that our greatest avoda is our dedication to our learning. And this apparently the Kloisenberger said to his chassidim, this is what I want from you, to make your learning your priority. And you have to have tremendous diligence in your learning. No matter what the distractions are, you have to have hasmada. Lastly, some of Farshim suggest a very creative reading. Hard to believe that this is pshat in the Braisa, but it's certainly a powerful and important idea. And this is an idea which you find as early as the Tiferes Yisrael. In his second explanation, he suggests that Yishuv, or yeshiva here means shahaya miyushav, excuse me, that the second idea is shiyei baki b'yeshuvo shalolam, that a person should be part of the yeshuv, he should be part of the world, you should know what's going on. Hein b'derech eretz, whether it's, however you want to translate derech eretz here, whether it means working, or just the ways of the world, basic ethics, hein b'chachmos, tibios, limudios, various other forms of knowledge, secular knowledge. A person should be aware of what's going on in the world and literate and involved. Through these things, these can be rakachot or tabachot, these things can help the Torah Kedosha. Meaning to say, shiyu elu misharseha lahavina ayodan hetev. Number one, all these extra sources of knowledge will help you understand Torah better. The kulan klulin ba, because in the end everything is connected and included in the Torah. The gam aideza yenechmad v'naim v'enei habrios. He points out you'll be able to interact. The more worldly you are, the more well-versed you are, the more you know how to talk to people about things beyond just the learning and the Gemara and the Sugya, the more you'll be able to involve yourself and be connected with people. The Baruch Shamar of Baruch Halevi Epstein, also his second shot, says this also in a very meaningful way, that Yachad im Limud HaTorah, the same time as you're learning, Lo Yeh Zar B'Yeshuvo Shel Olam, you shouldn't be a stranger to what's going on in the world. And this is his interpretation of Yafa Torah im Derech Eretz, that you should know what's going on in the world, economically and otherwise, you should be aware and involved. And he adds something which I think is certainly true, V'nosein Kavod LaTorah, that there's a certain Kavod HaTorah which is achieved when we see people who are not only great Talmid Chachamim, but they're knowledgeable in worldly matters, they're sophisticated, they're aware of what's going on in the world, they're aware of other forms of knowledge, we see the insights and the benefit that that knowledge gives them in general, the way they use that, as to use Tzvi Yisrael's term, as a Mishareis L'Havin, and to express and to elucidate the Torah. And this is something that is certainly quite significant. I would be remiss if I didn't conclude that this shiur is being delivered on the night Laor of Aaron Lichtenstein's Atzal's second Yahrzeit, and certainly in the last generation, since his father-in-law, since the Rav, there was no greater, not even close, no greater exemplar of this combination than Rav Aaron. And the Kavod HaTorah that the Baruch Shamar says that you can have when you see someone who has, you know, such mastery of both. He's a master of Torah, those kol Torah kula, and at the same time he's not zar b'yeshivo shalom, he's not a stranger to what's going on in the world in every sense, whether it's economic, political, intellectual, etc. That allows the person to relate and to understand people, to be nechman v'naim b'enei habrios, and truly to give a Kavod HaTorah. So just to review, we saw five interpretations which revolve around two different girsaos, either yeshuv or b'yeshiva. Number one, we saw the ability to concentrate, to focus. That's obviously important to learning. Number two, to be deliberate, not to rush to conclusions or to rush to answers when we're asked questions. Number three, the importance of learning in a yeshiva, not just learning, but the value of yeshiva itself. Number four, we saw the idea of hasmada, yeshiva, in the sense of sitting, learning, being a diligent student. And lastly, to be oseg b'yishuv ha'olam, to be involved in the world, to be worldly, to be a man of the people.